ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 8. You better stay here because I don't know how to work these things. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who I'm sitting above, which is ridiculous. What's going on here? Why didn't I think of that before? Veta tvam somya tat saravam tatvatas tad anugrahat bruyu snigdhasya shishyasya guruvo guhyam apyuta. This is Shonaka speaking to Suta, I believe. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the personality of Godhead, and when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Suta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naimisharanya were confident that Srila Suta Goswami was bona fide. Therefore, they were anxious to hear from him. Okay, thank you. By the mercy of the Guru, you can do impossible things. Could someone try and stop these people here talking? First impossible thing. Seems to be. Could this happen in America? I saw some devotees from America. I knew he was from America because he had tattoos on his feet. Only in America do people do such stupid things like that. Could this happen in America? Should do. Vedic culture should be introduced all over the world in all its aspects. But this aspect of Vedic culture is repulsive to people who are brought up in the culture of thinking that we're all equal. It's also repulsive to Muslims. One of the several things they don't like at all in Hindu culture is, especially the hardcore Wahhabis, they don't like this offering respects or worshipping anyone except Allah. But this is an essential aspect of Vedic culture. gurus and disciples. Everyone has to be a disciple. In the human form of life, if one does not accept a guru, then he's just like an animal, as stated in Shastra. So this celebration is called Vyasa Puja. It was first established in this way, the big celebration, big gathering by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at the instigation of some of his own leading disciples. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur first of all found the Vyasa Puja Padati in the method of performing Vyasa Puja in the library at the Govardhan Mata in Puri, the mat of Sri Shankaracharya in Puri. And on the basis of that, some of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples introduced this Vyasa Puja for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. All, as I was saying yesterday in the talk I gave in Hindi, all the people who identify themselves as the follower of the Vedas, they identify themselves as followers of Vyas, because Vyas is Veda Vyas, he who divided the Vedas. Vyas means who divides. And even though what are accepted as orthodox Vedic schools, they have very different understandings of what Vyasa taught. And even within the school that we fall in, the school of Uttaramimamsa, Vedanta, there's a huge divide between the followers of Shankaracharya and the Vaishnavas. But one way or another, all the persons who identify themselves as the followers of the Vedas, they worship Vyas. And even today, what's going on in the name of Hinduism, it's all directly, and mostly nowadays indirectly, it has developed or rests on the contributions of Srila Vyasadeva. But actually, the Vaishnavas are the followers in the best way, because Vedaischa Sarvairaham Eva Vedyaha. In all the Vedas, Krishna declares, and Vyasadeva recorded that in Bhagavad Gita, the object of knowledge is ultimately Krishna. Therefore, Vyasadeva, in his ultimate contribution, has opened it, Srimad Bhagavatam, by declaring Vedam Vastavam Atra Vastu. This is the real subject matter of the Vedas, the real subject matter to be known. What is that? The Satyam Param, the highest truth, which is Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest, or the ultimate contribution of Vyas. And therein, among many, many other statements, which all center around Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original, supreme personality of Godhead. We find also Krishna in his instructions to Uddhava, stating, Madbhakta Puja Bhadika. While describing the process of worshipping himself, He also states that worship of my devotee is more important even than worship of myself. So, although it may seem to democratically minded people, or anyone who is reasonable and rational in the ordinarily understood sense of the term, which is a misunderstanding. How the term reasonable is understood is misunderstood. How the term rational is understood is misunderstood. Reasonable means to surrender to Krishna. Rational means to surrender to Krishna. But people who consider themselves to be reasonable and rational, they think that surrender to Krishna is very unreasonable and very irrational. Now, according to everything normal in the world, what is going on here is absurd, wrong, morally wrong, that someone can call themselves a spiritual leader and take such a superior position and accept worship from others. Little bit is maybe okay. Maybe it's okay if you just respect someone a little bit, but not too much. As we've all heard, those of us who are attempting to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission, we've heard it many times that when someone becomes interested in surrendering to Krishna, then their parents and friends and well-wishers who know well and want to advise them well tell them that religion is okay, but not too much. Krishna doesn't say that. Krishna says, anything but everything is not enough. Mame kam sharanam raja. Krishna is very unreasonable according to the worldly way of thinking. But actually, if we actually understand what Krishna is teaching, then the only sane thing to do is to surrender to Krishna. And Krishna gives this process. I didn't make it up. We're doing this practically in the public. There are so many people going past here and there. If we did this in an open place in America, it would be... Well, some people might think it's their religion. Let them do what they like. But they'd have a hard time relating to it. They couldn't accept it. The culture in India, among most of the Hindus up to the present day, is such that they accept this principle, that there should be a guru, despite the noble efforts of people like Jiddu Krishnamurti, and now we have his latest avatar. What's that guy that... what's his name? They call him Guru Dave. Anyway, we didn't say his name. Jaggi something, yeah. He also says that don't accept any guru, and goes on just like a guru. Who's that put a smile on their face? The art of passing stool, what's that? Oh, he also says, yeah, I'm not a guru, and goes on completely like a guru. So at least, let's be straightforward about it. Let's be straightforward about it. From Krishna's point of view, this is what should be going on. How can we understand what Krishna wants? If we say that this is going, why, we'll say God wants it. Now how can we understand? Through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That is our way of understanding what Krishna wants, and we should do what Krishna wants. Nothing else. I'm going to quote from Srila Prabhupada in a talk he gave in 1976. Srila Prabhupada said, "The Guru is respected as good as God. Why? Only for this qualification, that he does not speak anything nonsense. He speaks only what he has heard from the Acharya. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. Acharyopasanam." In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Acharyopasanam. So Vyasadeva is our Acharya. Therefore we offer Vyasa Puja. On the birthday of the Guru we offer Vyasa Puja. Actually it is not directly Vyasa. But because the bona fide Guru represents Vyasadeva, his puja is also Vyasa Puja. Madbhakta Puja Bhyadika. To worship Vyasadeva, worship the bona fide spiritual master and worship the Lord, they are the same. Rather, Krishna says that if you worship his bona fide representative, that worship is better than directly worshipping. Directly, it is not possible to worship the Supreme Lord. One has to go through the Acharya. Therefore, Vyasadeva is the original Acharya. So to sit up here and be worshipped definitely requires it requires some kind of confidence. It's not for squeamish people or introverts. Squeamish, you don't know what that means. How do you say squeamish in easy English? Fearful. Introverts, you know the word introvert. Squeamish means nervous and easily frightened. So to do that, one should be surrendered. What is the confidence? One should be surrendered, have confidence in my case, in Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We've heard the phrase self-confidence. But we learn, the first thing we learn in Bhagavad Gita is who we are, who is the self. I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the conglomeration of very strange ideas that I think is my mind. All kinds of weird things that I picked up while wandering through the material world in 8,400,000 species of life. How many times have I been round the block? How many times have I gone round and round in the circle? All kinds of strange ideas. Even in this one life, so many strange ideas. But we learn in Bhagavad Gita that we're not the body. We're not the mind, we're eternal servants of Krishna. And more specifically, as I just quoted here from Srila Prabhupada, we have to be the servant of the Acharya. So I can be very, very confident, despite my own manifest, actually unmanifest, that's the real problem. What's inside the skull, that's the real problem. But despite having so many disqualifications, I can be confident to accept this worship on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, with confidence that I am rightly situated if I simply try to represent Srila Prabhupada with the full confidence and very reasonable confidence, very clear confidence that Srila Prabhupada is very clearly a great pure devotee of Krishna who has come to this world to save us all, people who are blind or who are deliberately closing their eyes cannot see this, but clearly Srila Prabhupada is a very powerful acharya, and he has told us that if we simply follow what he says, which is what an acharya does, he tells, or it's understood, that a disciple has to follow what the acharya says and does. So I can be very confident that I'm well situated, and I can keep you well situated also if I simply Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Arna Koriya Mane Asha. Simply this, that we have to hear what Srila Prabhupada says and make that one with our heart, not to have any other desire, and we become well situated. Otherwise, to accept such worship, people would think this is shameless. How can you do that? How can you think you're so great? But especially, you may notice that in these talks I give on Vyasa Puja Day, it's more or less this, a lot of it's the same every time. It's a great opportunity for myself to remind myself how intrinsically unqualified I am, and how great is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and how I have to hold on to his lotus feet, especially as I've taken the responsibility on his order of instructing others. So I'd be very, very careful. If I was not initiating, I theoretically I could be somewhat loose, not so careful, but I have to be more careful. It's a very great responsibility to represent Srila Prabhupada. So yes, requires a lot of self-confidence, but this self-confidence means that I know myself, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, and specifically Krishna has arranged that I, who was wandering in the universe, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, I became very fortunate by the very great mercy of Krishna, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Krishna arranged that I could come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, so I am happy, lucky, fortunate to say that I am an eternal servant of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So it's not shamelessness. I'm supposed to be surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. And if I do that, then on His behalf, I can and should accept this worship. Should accept means Srila Prabhupada wanted that his disciples also guide others as he has guided them, and I also want that my disciples will do that, everyone according to their ability. So it's not shamelessness, but it is a duty, actually, to, practically speaking, to sit up here means to accept that I am great, which is the whole disease of material existence. To think that I am great, Ishvaro Ham, instead of saying Ishvara Parama Krishna, if one thinks Ishvaro Ham, then he is fool, rascal, and specifically a demon. So some may even say these gurus in ISKCON, they're all demons. They're taking all the worship which is meant for Srila Prabhupada only. Well, maybe they could say that about Prabhupada. All the like the Muslims say, only worship God. Don't worship anyone else. But Krishna says that we should worship Krishna, who's God, who is the central object of worship. He says to worship the devotee. So in one sense, I'm accepting to be great, which is not at all proper for a Vaishnava. But it's just that in the Shastra, it's stated that anyone who is senior or exalted in human society, they should be respected and worshipped. At the same time, have to remember that whatever I'm doing is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So it's proper that this function should go on. But at the same time, can be very dangerous. They're saying pride goes before a fall, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. These are English sayings, not directly from Shastra, but it's wisdom that can be observed by anyone in any culture. So this is a day for me to particularly remember, as I have to remember more, having accepted the position of being a guru, I have to remember more, but even especially on this day when there's more arrangement centered on me, I have to remember that clearly Srila Prabhupada is the empowered acharya who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent to deliver the whole world. I am one of the fortunate many who he delivered. He is, even among the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmanda Tharite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane. Every one of them is powerful enough to save the whole universe, but particularly that task was given for Paschatya Desha Tarin, of the being the uplifter of the Western countries. That task was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Prabhupada. So I always have to remember, we all have to remember that Srila Prabhupada is, I mean, it's a bit silly. It's something like the saying, the sun rises in the east. Do you have to say it? It shouldn't need saying. But someone who's a fool might think, well, maybe tomorrow the sun will rise in the west, or maybe it's not the east. So we shouldn't have to say, it should be as obvious as sunrise. Hare Krishna. So it shouldn't have to be said, but because we're fools, and I am in a position which would be considered very foolish by any reasonable person, reasonable by worldly estimation. So because I'm a fool, I have to say it. Maybe a child would go and say, oh, the sunrise in the east. It's a great realization. Father says, yeah, Everyone knows that. So let me say, Srila Prabhupada is far more pure, devoted, powerful preacher, compassionate, learned, and any other Vaishnava quality which you can think of. Srila Prabhupada is far, far more than myself. The sunrise in the east. It's just a fact of life. But I have to say that. I also have to say that in case my disciples start thinking that the sun rises in the west. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I have to. So the disciples see everything in proper perspective, therefore I have to tell you to read Srila Prabhupada's books, listen to his lectures, understand Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, scientifically understand topics of Krishna consciousness, so that everything becomes clear. We'll have a proper understanding of who we are, who is Krishna, what is the process of devotional service, with what attitude should it be performed. That is sambandha gyan. First of all, we have to understand what is our relationship with Krishna. We can engage in chanting the holy names and other processes of devotional service without understanding, first of all, who we are. But unless we come to the point of understanding who we are, then our endeavors in devotional service won't go very nicely. Unless we understand, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, and we understand that in all detail, what that means, then we may be chanting Hare Krishna and thinking, oh, I'm, by chanting more and more, I'm realizing more and more that I am Krishna. And there are people who think like that. So there's so many potential misunderstandings. There are so many misunderstandings and so many potential misunderstandings. So that's another reason why we have to have gurus in every generation. It's not that the guru shop is closed down and they all got packed off back to Godhead and no one's left. But there has to be in every generation, because in every generation the sense of I reject Krishna, I am not an eternal servant of Krishna, no one should worship Krishna, or they should worship Krishna, someone invent, that's even more dangerous, people invent some worship of Krishna which is not actually meant for pleasing Krishna, but it's meant as a method for avoiding Krishna and indulging in sense gratification in the name of Krishna consciousness. So it requires in every generation that there should be gurus who point out this is right, this is wrong. And what is right and what is wrong is the same always. It's right to surrender to Krishna, it's wrong not to surrender to Krishna. But it manifests in various ways, various ideas are propagated in different times and places and circumstances. Just like, for instance, scientism. Probably have a word for that in Russian. Scientism, or the idea that science, by science we can understand everything. And as the great scientist Stephen Hawking said, or wrote in his last book before he died, it was published posthumously, after studying science all his life and getting it all wrong, as one of his colleagues said, he came up with the scientific conclusion that there is no God. So people who are enamored of what is called science, they'll think, oh, Stephen Hawking said there's no God, he must be right. Of course, he was wrong about the Big Bang, according to one of his closest colleagues. But nevertheless, he's respected as a great scientist. So Srila Prabhupada, he combated the idea that by studying matter, we can understand what is reality. It's not a new endeavor. It's there even among people who call themselves followers of Vyas. Atomism. There's nothing but atoms. There are atoms and they combine and then everything runs around and there's Purush and Prakriti is another way of avoiding Krishna. But in the modern age, it's not Vedic nonsense. It's scientific nonsense. So Srila Prabhupada was the first to combat that. And obviously, prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were no people calling themselves Vaishnavas who pretended to be incarnations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the later Vaishnavas, later Acharyas, they had to combat such misunderstandings which mislead people. So the gurus are required in every generation to follow the previous Acharyas and apply the teachings and understand the teachings to rebut all misunderstandings that mislead people from the path back home, back to Godhead. And also another challenge, among the many challenges that Srila Prabhupada faced, was to give this process of Krishna consciousness to people raised in a completely different culture. He didn't compromise. Just like, for instance, he had this Vyasa Puja ceremony. He didn't try to say that you and me, we're all the same. So he organized, but at the same time, he made some concessions to the atmosphere, to the culture in which he preached, in which he operated. He made some concessions as required for establishing Krishna consciousness in a cultural atmosphere that no previous Acharya had to operate in and may not even have been imaginable. As Srila Prabhupada famously once said, famous because, well, one reason is because it's recorded with video recording, when Srila Prabhupada was asked, he said that the hippies were making them happies. And then a journalist asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is a hippie?" It's a rhetorical kind of question because everyone knew, more or less. Srila Prabhupada said, "I don't know, you can answer that better than me." Which Acharya could have imagined going among hippies who, see, the Shastra points out that people are foolish and crazy. Pramatta, nunang pramatta, such words are used. People are crazy if they're not Krishna conscious. So the Shastra points that out, for normal people are crazy. But the hippies, they prided themselves on being crazy. And the more crazy they were, the better hippie they were. And Srila Prabhupada preached among such people. So it was a great challenge. Srila Prabhupada did it. But that's just to point out how in different places, different circumstances, how to apply while following without changing the message of Vyasa as received through the Acharyas, and while following the process given by Srila Rupa Goswami, how to make some minor adjustments, which may seem major, for the sake of establishing Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was most expert in doing that, empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he had such a strong desire to deliver people who would, you know, shouldn't even see them. Asad Sangha Tyag, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, give up bad association. The good brahmanas, they live in the Agraharam, the area around the temple. Their life is organized in such a way that they'll never see people like the hippies or people like myself from the Western world. They shouldn't be allowed in the Hindu temples. Only Hindus allowed. It's written still on some temples. So such people shouldn't even be seen. What to speak of living among them, befriending them, making them disciples. Srila Prabhupada had the conviction that it should be done, it can be done, and the very strong desire to do so. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the intelligence what to do so that people who are in every respect disqualified can take to Krishna consciousness and go forward and become brahmanas and sannyasis and even gurus. Some people in India, when Srila Prabhupada brought his Western disciples back to India, some people were shocked. Well, many people were shocked, but some people in a not very appreciative way. How can these lechers dress like sadhus? How can you make them brahmanas, sannyasis? And nowadays some people say, how can you make them gurus? So considering this, we should consider, well, how is that possible? By the mercy of a touchstone that turns rusty iron into gold. So by the mercy, yata kanchanatam yati, kangsyang rasa vidhanata, by the mercy of the powerful gurus who initiate, by the diksha vidhana, dvijatvam jayate in rinam, human beings can attain a second birth. So human being, in this context, means anyone who has taken what is classified as a human birth. So that means Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumba, Yavana, Kasadaya, Yene, Japapa, Yadapashrayashraya, Shudyanti, Tasmai, Prabhavishnave, Namaha. Even the most fallen people, by the power of the pure devotees, they can, even the most people who are not even considered really human, junglies, there's a word which you're not supposed to use words like that anymore, because nowadays India's a democracy and everyone's got equal rights. But anyway, say that jungli, no? You say in Hindi, jungli means some. Well, literally means what they call Adivasi or the from Chambal, that area like that. People, tribal, that's an English word, jungly people, Kirat, all this, very, very lowest class. They're not considered really human. And actually, they may be like that. I've seen, I don't think you'll find nowadays, but you'll see going around with the men will just have some little thing to cover their genital area, no other clothes. They'll go around with bows and arrows. Not Arjuna's style bow and arrow, but little bow and arrow for shooting whatever little things running around. I saw a hare running around here. They have here cargoes. I saw it just here. So they'll shoot whatever things they, and they'll eat it. So they're not really considered human, they're uncivilized. But this verse says, even such people, they can be devotees. What about the Americans and the British and the Japanese? Even the tribal people, they may, if they're fortunate, they may come close to the Ganga and take a bath in the Ganga. You won't get such a result by bathing in the Hudson or the Thames, rivers in America or England or the Moskva River. They go in the winter, they like to swim in. That's considered religious, right? You're from Tatarstan, you know. It's considered a religious activity to bathe in the river in Moscow in the winter. Pretty austere. You have to break the ice, I would think. So anyway, Dvijadvam Jayate Nrinam. Even the any human being, anyone who's got two legs, two hands, and isn't a chimpanzee or a gorilla, walk upright, they can be considered a human being. And they're all eligible. Anyone who can pronounce the names Hari, they can be considered a human being. Not a parrot. You can train a parrot also to chant. But anyone in the human form of life can have a second birth and even a third birth. Second birth means to be initiated as twice born, eligible for hearing the Vedas, actually. And third birth means to accept the spiritual master for the sake of serving Krishna. So it's always good to remind ourselves how fallen we are. Even birth in India is undoubtedly, even as a tribal birth in India, from the Krishna conscious point of view, it's more exalted than birth in an aristocratic family in America, if there are any aristocratic families in America. But even if one thinks I'm high class, Brahmin, very high birth, it's all relative. Just like in the prison, some prisoners are more prestigious than others. They're all in the prison. But those who are, those who have killed a policeman, they're on a very high level. And someone who stole some carrots from a shop, they're very low level. Very low level. The more you're nasty and violent and criminal in the prison, you have a higher status. So one may be a very high born brahmana, but after all, we're all in the prison. Should always remember. So I'm sitting here, and if I think I deserve this, yes, it is proper, they're all worshipping me, so you're all going to say so many things in praise of me, and my biggest problem is if I believe all these things. You should believe it, but I shouldn't. How about that? Is it true or is it not? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it true or is it not? True. All the Vedas say that. Right? All the acharyas. Srila Prabhupada, what did he teach us? All the time. On and on and on and on and on. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who's the most exalted devotee of Krishna? Radharani? Anyone? Rukmini? Anyone? Radharani, right? All right, if we ask Radharani, is Krishna the Supreme Personality of God, what's she going to say? What? Him? What are you talking about? So she's the highest devotee. She won't accept that he's God. So is it true or is it not? Should we listen to what the Vedas say, or should we listen to Radharani? Now that's a problem, isn't it? What kind of religion is this anyway? So, you have to believe what you say, and if I believe what I expect you're going to say, then I'm in trouble, because I'm also in this material world, I'm also a prisoner, I'm also a product of Kali Yuga. But one thing, somehow I have to keep on banging in my head again and again and again, that if I just follow Srila Prabhupada, everything will be okay. And if I just tell all of you to do that, you'll all be okay also. That's all. You just have to remember that. Simple thing. That's all. And so many people saying so many things in so many ways, and this and that and the other. All right, Srila Prabhupada's the great Mahabhagavat Acharya, representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we just have to follow him. That's all. Simple thing. Just keep that in mind. Just like a drowning man can see there's a life buoy and he just holds on to it. Life buoy or piece of wood, just hold on to it. At that time, if you're drowning and the waves are high, but there's some wood, some big piece of wood you can hold on to, you don't start making some philosophical speculation about, should I hold on to this wood? Maybe there's another piece of wood. Maybe I can swim by myself. At that time, there's no philosophy. You just hold on, that's all. So by all philosophy, we can understand that we should surrender to Krishna via Srila Prabhupada, but practically we just have to do it. Hold on tight. So much mercy, unlimited mercy. How much can we take? Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote that his father would say, Srila Prabhupada's father would say that God has 10 hands and you only have 2 hands. So if you want to hold on to something and he wants to take it away, what are you going to do? And if he wants to give you, how much can you take? How much mercy can we take? It's unlimited. It's unlimited mercy. How much we lag behind. There's so much in this land of Vrindavan, so much nectar. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. How to access that? Well, I stick to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Just try to follow what he says. So it's on this basis that I'm sitting here today with all of you gathered here to praise me. By initiating, I'm asking you to trust me. And you should trust me. One should have faith in the Guru. Big thing in the modern age, isn't it, to ask someone, if you say, trust me. Usually if someone says to you, trust me, you should understand, be very careful. If he says, trust me, probably not trustworthy. Because who is trustworthy? Who can you trust? The children are fortunate if they get out of the womb without getting aborted. Can they trust their parents? Can the parents trust the children? Who can we trust in this world? So it's a very great step that we're asking people to take. If I say, trust me, trust me, and I will show you the way to get out of the calamity that you've been in. We don't even know how bad our situation is. Torture. What if I was to tell you that we're going to take you away and then we're going to anesthetize you so that you can't remember anything, and when you wake up, we're going to torture you in solitary confinement, completely crammed up with all kinds of nasty insects biting you and you can't breathe. What's that called? Birth. Taking birth means we go into a womb, we're as if without consciousness for some time. We're crammed up in a womb. It's a very horrible situation. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Birth doesn't just mean the pain of giving birth or the pain of coming out of the womb, but being in the womb is like a torture. The people, some organizations, Amnesty International, they want to stop torture. But this whole material existence is torture. We come out of the womb and someone like Shukdev, well, there are not many, Shukdev Goswami thought that it's better, there's so much mire out here, it's better to be back in the womb. We think we come out, everything will be nice. But it's worse than being in the womb. The whole material existence is one long torture. So by giving initiation, I'm expecting the kind of trust that I can lead you, Tamasima Jyotirgamaya, out of the darkness into the light. It's a very great, I can't say demand or a very great offer. It's too good to be true. Just like on the internet, sometimes you may get an email that we want to send you $10 million. Please give us all your account details. You ever get an email like that? Just click here and you have to give us all your account details. You give your account details, you don't have $10 million in your account, but whatever's there goes out immediately. Because they're cheating you. No one's going to, some anonymous email, someone's going to give you $10 million. So you may say, well, you just take initiation from me and you'll get free from birth and death and you'll have eternal blissful life forever. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like one of those spam emails. Too good to be true. Then we have to start at the beginning. We don't ask it. We don't say, anyone else? Initiation, please come here. Anyone can come and take initiation. We don't do that. Some gurus do. I've long ago in Bangladesh, I was at some Hindu mela, some fair, and there was an announcement going on throughout the day. Swami so-and-so is giving initiation. Anyone wants to take initiation, come and take initiation. And we don't do that. We start off, first of all, give them a book or some prasadam, matato brahma jignasa. First of all, understand what is the purpose of human life. Then, the purpose of life is to understand janmadyasya yataha. What is the supreme? Is that from whom everything comes, in whom everything rests, into which everything enters? So start step by step by step. And when one is convinced enough, one may not know everything, but convinced enough that by following this, by following this person, it's not, there's a process, but there are persons also. We don't want to impersonalize it. It's a personal exchange. So this person, I can trust enough that will give the right guidance so that my highest benefit will be there. How can we trust? We have to have faith in God. There is God. He's very kind. This is the process he's given. This is what I have to do if I'm going to approach him. So, his worship is going on. And it's not just today, wherever I go. Devotees treat me nicely, treat me very well. Why should they do that? Well, there's the cultural aspect. Those who are Indian, they know that. How sadhus should be treated. They're kind enough to consider me as a sadhu. But particularly, I as a person, everyone is a different person. So I purport to offer authentic Krishna consciousness. What Srila Prabhupada gave us, I want to try and give that. And of course, he gave Krishna consciousness in a very wide spectrum, as did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He made Krishna consciousness available at different levels to all kinds of people. But there are different levels also. So I'm trying to give Krishna consciousness at a level by which, if we come in at this level, then we can go up more and more and more. My understanding is that if at the beginning we make it clear that you require to do this and this and this and this, that will give us a start by which we can progress more and more and more. If we accept many people at a low level, it's difficult to bring anyone up to a higher level. If we bring devotees that you have to be initiated, you have to read this and this and this, and no mustaches. Why no mustaches? What's that got to do with Krishna consciousness? As Prabhupada says, he doesn't like it. On citing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, it's Lavanyam Kesha Dharanam. It is a symptom of Kali Yuga that people will think that their hair will make them very beautiful. So I'm trying to keep standards high so that devotees can be serious in their practice, which means not only rules and regulations, but also the attitude we should have in Krishna consciousness. Not that we're doing it for any personal gain or name or fame. No boasting. I'm such a great devotee. I did this. I did that. So I am attempting to present authentic Krishna consciousness, authentic in attitude, that we're here to very seriously practice Krishna consciousness, which means there are various rules to be followed as given by Rupa Goswami. I didn't invent them myself. As given by Srila Prabhupada. By saying that, I purport to present Krishna consciousness in authentic way. If we turn that statement around, then could be understood that I see much going on which is not so authentic in the name of Krishna consciousness. But at least I can say this much. I'm trying to present Krishna consciousness without unnecessary accretions or deletions. Don't add anything, don't take anything away. without unnecessarily bringing in things which are not required in the practice of our Krishna consciousness. For instance, it might seem that it's a very good idea to have a devotee rock group, and many people will be interested. Many young people will like that. They'll like the rock, maybe. Not so much the Hare Krishna. But somehow they'll come in contact with devotees. So it's arguable that we can have a rock group and preach like that. So someone may want to do that. I don't. I don't have a rock group at Govardhan. Just on Saturday night, there's in the place I'm staying, whole group of people came and they had at night a party with all bum ba bum ba bum ba bum Bollywood music in Govardhan. And in the day they'll go out and visit some places, maybe do parikrama in their car. And at night have a party. So one way of looking at it is, well, at least they're in Govardhan. But I would say, in Govardhan, then you should bow down and chant Hare Krishna the way Krishna wants it chanted. Gaur Abhihita Kirtana Shuni, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I want to hear Kirtan the way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants it, not the way that I want it or the foolish youth of today want it. So this is the outlook that I'm trying to present, because it's very, very easy to just change everything. As I've often said, what is Hinduism? How did it all come about? How did this indefinable morass called Hinduism come about? Well, originally there was Krishna and Brahma and the Vedas. But then we all came. We want sense gratification. So we just change it a little. And a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And then the original message gets lost. So this is one major reason to emphasize Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada was so uncompromising, so heavy, so critical. Practically, you can't read much in Srila Prabhupada's books or listen to his talks, or just when he meets people, so critical. He's immediately looking for the fault. Seems like that. We need to keep Srila Prabhupada in the center. That he is absolutely uncompromising in presenting this is the truth. Just yesterday or the day before, I was reading one conversation of Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying to one man, "You don't talk, you listen to me. I know, you don't know." Told him directly. Dr. Patel. He more or less told him, just shut up and listen. You don't talk. It was so uncompromising. He wouldn't accept. Rupa Anuga Viruddha Apasidanta Dvanta Harin. Like his own Acharya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wouldn't accept anything which it goes against the conclusions of Rupa Goswami. He is the deliverer from the darkness of wrong conclusions that are presented in the name of Rupa Goswami. I'll just give one example how things can change. Buddhism was taught by the Buddha, who taught Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. non-violence. Ahimsa is translated as non-violence. It's the highest dharma, the highest religion. So Buddhism spread through much of Asia. And one manifestation of Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, maybe you've heard of Zen Buddhism, which became very popular in Japan among the military class. Military class means trained for fighting and killing. So they had the Zen of fighting. Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. And then it just the opposite. That how you get so absorbed in fighting that you have your enlightenment in the middle of fighting and killing people. The Zen of warfare. There you go. The Zen of motorcycle maintenance, the Zen of rowing people across a river, and you, all of a sudden you have a... you get enlightened. So it is possible that even though the teachings of the founder are clear and well documented and known to everyone, that in the name of the founder you can do something completely opposite to what he taught and still consider yourself the follower. Isn't Maya strong? Self-deception. Is it possible in ISKCON? Well, if it's possible in Buddhism, it's possible. Anything's the ability of the conditioned soul to twist things out of their original shape is remarkable. Even Krishna himself becomes surprised sometimes by his own maya, how people are amazing. How can you do that? How can you say that? And be a follower of Prabhupada. So we have to see very clearly. That's why it's very important to read Srila Prabhupada's books, to listen to his lectures, conversations. You have to have some faith there also, that the books are his books, that the conversations are not tampered with. You have to put your faith somewhere. So as I often say, I'm trying to stick close to Srila Prabhupada, and try and tell others to do that and put his books first and not think that I'm writing some books which are better than Prabhupada's for preaching. We don't give Prabhupada's books, we give some other books because people can't understand Prabhupada's books, or they're too difficult, or they're too heavy, or too this, or too that, but Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada, and then he sent me to deliver you from all the things that you might misunderstand or you might get misled. If people say we have to give Prabhupada, no, don't give Prabhupada's books first. What we're saying in an indirect way is that Prabhupada's books will mislead them. Sounds like rascaldom. But it's a very prominent idea that we have to give some other books first, not Prabhupada's books. So I'm writing books also on Prabhupada's order. But I never, Krishna save me from thinking that these books are the books, that the books are Prabhupada's books. They're the books that we have to study and consult and live by. It's just like saying the sunrise in the east. We shouldn't have to say it. We shouldn't have to have a conference every few weeks and say, you sure the sunrise from the east? Are you sure we have to study Prabhupada's books? Are you sure that we have to follow Prabhupada? We shouldn't have. It should be very clear and obvious, but somehow or other, it's not for some people. it should be obvious that we should put Srila Prabhupada in the center, which means his instructions, the way he's told us to follow Krishna consciousness, read his books, distribute his books. It should be obvious. I can't understand why anyone could think that they have written some books which are better for preaching, or they have a different method of spreading Krishna consciousness other than the one that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave or Prabhupada gave. It's outrageous, but it's going on. So someone should take the position of saying that we don't need to do it. We absolutely must not change the basic process which Srila Prabhupada gave us and the basic culture that Srila Prabhupada gave. In fact, we have a lot of work to do to establish the culture that Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish. 50% of my work, Srila Prabhupada said, is still to be done in the matter of establishing Varnashram. So in one sense, it may be considered shameless that I'm sitting up here, but in another sense, I should do it, because those who have received Srila Prabhupada's gifts, they should give it to others. And someone should say, this is the way to follow. We should follow like this. So it may seem like a kind of cheating to accept such a high position, but on the other hand, not to do so would also be a kind of cheating. Srila Prabhupada saved me from so many cheaters. I was so happy when I came to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. I didn't even know, of course, when I first walked in the door about Srila Prabhupada. I knew it was Hare Krishna. But I'd seen there's some Christians and Mayavadis and all disgusting people, actually. I mean, actually, especially this Mayavad just horrible, horrible ideas. We're all God. What a worse than useless idea. So Srila Prabhupada saved us, very kindly picked us up. I have to thank Krishna millions of times for bringing me to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and saving me from so many cheaters. There are so many people out there in the world who are willing to call themselves a guru and take us on the wrong path. Guravo, Bhavo, Santi, Shishya, Vitapaharaka, Durlabha Sadguru Devi, Shishya, Santapaharaka. There are many cheaters, so-called gurus, who are very expert in taking away their disciples' money. But it's very rare to find someone who can take away, a real guru who can take away the distress, the miseries, the repeated birth and death of the disciple. So I'm very grateful to Krishna to have given me this opportunity to serve in Srila Prabhupada's movement. And I can only reciprocate or try to give my Guru Dakshina to Srila Prabhupada in the way that he wanted, that to guide others as he has guided me and continues to guide me. And then despite my being so much contaminated and being subject to the four defects of conditioned souls, including the cheating propensity, which always is present, but always have to remember that I'm simply meant to be here as a servant of Krishna, particularly a servant of Srila Prabhupada, present what he has presented, then I can benefit you. I can be a guru if I am a living source In the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, means if I'm alive in Krishna consciousness, if I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, if I'm finding some inspiration in Krishna consciousness, and I'm able to communicate that to others, then I should do. Just like Srila Prabhupada didn't have to leave Vrindavan, but he felt the urging from his own guru to communicate what he had received, communicate that to others. He was alive. He wanted to give the life of Krishna consciousness to others. So the life that Srila Prabhupada gave was a life of wanting to share that with others, communicate, give that to others. So there should be some life. It should be not just a formality, but some relishing of Krishna consciousness. And Madhura Brinda Bipina Madhuri Prabhesha Chaturi Shar. Maybe a long, long way from entering the groves of Vrindavan, but this much I can say, that I do like to join the kirtan, hear the kirtan, see you all dancing ecstatically. I like to study teachings of Shastra through the teachings given by Srila Prabhupada. There's some life is there. Srila Prabhupada, once on the Vyasa Puja day in London, he was there. He told the devotees that this is the day when the disciples should tell the spiritual master what he has received from him, how his life has changed. So much I've received from Srila Prabhupada. He's completely changed the whole course of my life. And I am confident that by giving you what Srila Prabhupada gave, your life will also change. It will improve. You will experience pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. You will experience Krishna in your life. Maybe in the beginning in a minuscule way, but gradually that will increase more and more. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada, I want to say so many devotees are kindly calling me to so many places. Please come here. Please go there. I have to apologize that I'm not able to accept so many invitations to so many places. One very practical reason for that is that the vehicle in which I'm presently incarcerated, the body, this body is becoming older and not so healthy as it was previously. So if I was to just travel constantly, I could make a program to go to 365 places in 1 year. But experience teaches me that if I were to do so, very soon the bodily health would break down and I'd have to cancel the program. So what can I do? Instead of making a program to go to all the places that devotees kindly invite me to, I can make a limited program. So either way, I'll go to a limited number of places, either by first of all breaking the body down and then canceling the program, or by just making a slower program. So kindly understand, these Shravan Kirtan camps are meant so devotees can come and hear. And practically, there are so many devotees who can present the teachings of Krishna consciousness in an authorized way. Yesterday morning I didn't give the talk because the day before I just the first day I'd been quite active for quite some time because I'd been recuperating. So I asked, the first day I gave talks, then I felt physically somewhat strained. So I asked Savyasachi Prabhu to give a talk, and I came and I heard the end of that, and perfect, great. Just the right philosophy, everything to the point. So many devotees who can speak all these things. If you like to hear me, there's also the recordings are coming out now. But you may kindly understand that physically it's very difficult to go to so many places. And also I need to write books. Several important book projects I would like to complete. In this regard, I'll read from a letter by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "I am always very much encouraged to hear from my disciples and to reply them, but now I am an old man and I have an inclination for philosophy and translating, and if all day and night I am reading and answering and signing letters, then I cannot utilize this, the fag end of my life, to give you so many nice literatures, like the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, and other books in our own Gaudiya line, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, and others. So if the GBC which I have appointed for this task will kindly now assist me in this way by handling very expertly and with all good consideration all matters of managing, I shall devote my full time to giving you further nice books." This was written in a letter by Srila Prabhupada on the 16th of February 1972. And just 11 days later, he wrote in another letter, "I am an old man now, and my interests are turning to philosophy and translation. If you help me by relieving me from this administrative work, that will free me to give you so many more fine books from our Vedic literature and from our devotional line. So kindly assist me in this way." Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so very much for all coming here. Hare Krishna.